Dave, how's it going down there in Jacksonville?
Pretty good, Bill King. Podcast is doing good, and it's kind of ramping up for SEC Media Days next week.
Are you going?
I'll be there.
Going to Hoover, Alabama at the Winfrey Hotel. I've only done about 30 of those. I will never go again unless it comes to Nashville. And I might not even go if it comes here. But anyways.
last year was in Atlanta was the first year I was able to go, you know, with the podcast and stuff. So I get to go again this year. And, hey, it'd be good. Mullen in Florida are Monday. So we'll have plenty to talk about next Tuesday morning.
So I was making fun of some of the haters. Backup DB transferred. He got in some trouble. The charges were dropped. We need to be accurate about this. But he put his name in the He Gone Gateway, and he'll go wherever. But a lot of the haters are saying, Bill, it's not that. It's the cumulative thing. Is there anything to worry about there?
No, there's not. I mean, Mullen's in his second year, and Bill, you know just as good as I do, a coach early in his tenure, the first couple years, or there's going to be transfers. Guys who stick it, you know, some guys transfer right away, and some guys stick it through the first year, see if they can make headway with the new coaching staff. And if they can't, you know, after spring practice, once they kind of find out that they're not really going to be on the field, look, Florida, yeah, 9 players, it is a lot. And some of them are some odd circumstances in which they're leaving. But you're early in the coach's tenure, once the players left for McElwain realize they're not going to play really here under Dan Mullen either, they're going to go try and play somewhere else. And look, some of these guys I think can be, you know, starters at lower tier schools. And Brian Edwards, you know, he had the charges dropped for a domestic violence case. I think that's more of just a kind of fresh start for everybody, you know, off-field issue. Get away from Gainesville. You know, Gainesville's, if you find yourself in trouble in Gainesville there, get away from it. Maybe you can start your career going somewhere else. Yeah, it is odd. Now, you know, the two that are odd, Jalen Jones, but he found himself in an off-field situation as well. That needed to be cleared up. And it was kind of and he wasn't after that and a lot of other things that were going on off the field with him. It was, hey, look, you really don't need to be in the program anymore. I think it really just, you know, Florida letting him save face a little bit by letting him transfer is really instead of just kicking him off the team there. Chris Steele, you know, that's the Jalen Jones and Chris Steele are the two weird ones. You know, they're guys who were true freshmen, early enrollees, will never see the field. Chris Steele saw a lot of time in the spring with Marco Wilson recovering from injury. That's one reason Brian Edwards is transferring. Chris Steele was getting all the reps in spring, so he saw himself being passed on the depth chart. Had some off-field issues. He's going to lead the program. Chris Steele, I know it really comes out now. We were a couple months removed from that scenario. He just really wanted to be closer to home. Had some family issues there, wanted to be close to home after going cross-country to Florida. But you know, to go down the list, Bill, Daquan Green, 4-star recruit under McElwain, was never going to see the field really at Florida. T.J. McCoy was passed by Nick Buchanan at center last year. He transfers to Louisville to go get some playing time. You can't blame him there. Antonius Clayton, a 4-star defensive lineman, never really put it all together for Florida, was passed on the depth chart in the spring as well. Kind of Malik Langham as well, recent transfer to Vanderbilt from Florida. He was a 4-star defensive lineman. This was only his second year. He redshirted last year. He was passed on the depth chart in the spring as well, so he saw himself not getting a lot of playing time. And then there's two linebackers, Kylan Johnson, Rashad Jackson. Those guys were depth pieces at linebacker, but those are two of the guys that I can really see going somewhere, a lower-tier school. I like what they did at Florida, but they wanted to get some playing time. They wanted to go start. So Kylan Johnson, Rashad Jackson, I think Rashad Jackson, if I remember right, went to UNLV, if I believe, if that's right there. So you need to go get some playing time. So a lot of these guys were really passing the depth chart. They're not huge, you know, except for Chris Steele. Bill, I'm not, you know, panicking of that Florida lost some, you know, key guys here. It's just really, you know, some depth pieces. And, you know, yeah, in the SEC you need some depth here, but, you know, these guys want to go get some playing time. And as easy as it is to transfer right now, they're going to go get some playing time. But, look, LSU's got a ton of transfers. FSU had a ton of transfers. South Carolina's had a ton of transfers. Virginia Tech had a ton of transfers. We don't hear about those programs and everybody hitting on them and calling it a culture problem at those schools. Like I said, so I think it's more about, you know, it's early in the coach's tenure at Dan Mullen. Some of these are McElwain guys and the odd circumstances of Chris Steele and Jalen Jones.
Well, this works and flows both ways, though, you lose players who want to transfer for whatever reason that you just described. It also opens up many scholarships for new, fresh, incoming talent.
Yeah, and a lot of that comes back to, you know, also this recent 2019 class, and you know, there's still a few players who, De'Ave Hammond, lately the offensive guard from Lakeland last year, he's going to have to go the JUCO route. DeJuan Black, have to go the JUCO route. His plan is to come back to, you know, get to Florida. It's tough for JUCOs to get into Florida, so we'll see how that all works out. But you get two initial counters back because those guys never hit campus. Those guys are never enrolled. You get those two counters back, so Florida will be able to, you know, add two more to this coming class. But, yeah, eventually down the road, you know, Florida's right now at, I believe, 78 scholarships now. I have to check that, 72 or 78. We'll kind of see where Noah Banks, where he ends up, and part of 78 out of the 85 scholarships Florida has right now. So right now it's not a huge issue for 2019. Florida's going to be a young team in 2020, 2021. So, you know, you need some depth pieces there, Bill. And, you know, what it means to me is you really, you know, kind of talking about, you know, opening up, you know, numbers down the road. You know, for this, for the rest of the 2019 class and this 2020 class that's coming up, it does mean you have to hit on those players. It's a smaller class now for the 2019 class, so the guys that do come on campus, you know, those guys have to hit. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to have any excuses there. You know, it's a smaller class. Mullen and you know, his staff are known for developing, so that's one thing you wish these guys, you know, come in, be able to take a year or two and get developed. You know, and you know, especially for this class that is about to leave now, it's heavy on McElwain's players, so, you know, a lot of the Mullins guys are going to be able to sit by the wayside and get developed. But, you know, coming up now, you know, for this 2019 class, you'll have Kyer Elam coming in, Chester Kimbrough, Jadon Hill at cornerback. That guys are, you know, they're going to have to be counted on for sure, you know, with the recent depth issues caused by the transfer. You know, the smaller classes does mean you will have to hit. This 2020 class may be a little bit bigger than what we initially thought, and you're going to have to hit on those guys as well.
Georgia Dog on Twitter says, Bill, ask Gator Dave if the Miami game is a must win for setting the tone for this year's team.
I say absolutely, just because I think there are high expectations for this Gator team. You're going into the season top 10. Now, I hate to say it ruins the season if it's lost. If that game is lost, I think it will be hard to recover from mentally. You'd have a bye week after that there to kind of rally the troops. But, no, I mean, I'm – you know, I go back to last year, and after the Kentucky game, it was the second game of the season, and, you know, we sat there and looked at that game and said, oh, man, you know, Florida has a long way to go. This offensive line still nowhere near where it needs to be. Felipe Franks, you know, still struggling along with some of the, you know, better SEC defenses. The defense just got carved up for over 300 yards rushing. You know, this team has a long way to go, and, you know, we look in December here, Florida's a 10-win team, or, you know, after the bowl game, it's a 10-win team. So, yeah, I hate to depend so much on one game and say they, you know, they can't bounce back or anything. But I think for Florida to be, you know, that live up to that expectation of a top 10 team, to go and compete against Georgia in the SEC East and, you know, maybe make it to Atlanta, I think you have to go win that Miami game. It'd be hard to bounce back if you lose that game. And plus, look, I mean, you're going against a brand new coaching staff in Miami, led by Manny Diaz, that Dan Mullen knows very well. You know, it'd be hard to stomach a loss versus a new staff. Even though, you know, talent level is pretty even on both sides, if you just want to go by recruiting rankings and kind of where the teams have been the last 4 or 5 years and the guys that are taking the field. But, you know, well, Florida's got the experience in quarterback and wide receiver playmaking positions. And I think a better over, and I think with Todd Grantham and the defense that he's bringing to the table, it would be hard to stomach a loss against Miami.
Well, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but they were posting pictures of Tate Martell's girlfriend. Did you see that?
I didn't see that, no.
Okay, well, she's very attractive, and the word from the Twitter audience, and you know Twitter rules, right? They make all the rules, and they tell you how it's going to be. The only way he can keep her, because she's not going to stick around if he's the bum quarterback that some of the detractors say he is, not very good. So the only way, Gator Dave, that he keeps her is if he plays well. So if I'm the Gators, I'm worried about this. That's my point.
Oh. Well, okay. I mean, who knows? You know, that's what it takes for him to get up and go. We'll see. You know, that is the interesting piece of this game. This game here, and who Miami decides to go with at quarterback. Some people seem to think Nikosi Perry. Some people still think Tate Martell would transfer, and what he was able to do in the spring game there. It is an interesting side piece to sign Miami. I don't know. I don't know how they'll do it. If it's me, I probably don't name a starter until game day. But, you know, maybe they name one early just so that guy gets all the reps as they go along in practice. But if it's me, you know, I keep Florida guessing. I keep Todd Grantham guessing, you know, all the way up until August 24th when you don't know who that quarterback will be, because they bring something different to the table. You know, they're not the same quarterback. It may be the same offense, but Tate Martell's going to freelance a little bit more than Nikosi Perry will. So if I'm Miami, it's me back there, you know, making Florida guess all the way up until game time.
This time of year is when coaches can kind of get away a little bit. Vacation, get away just a little. They do it in waves. You can't have everybody gone. But, Dave, I've got an anonymous source. I cannot mention who this is, who says that Todd Grantham, while on vacation, is not sleeping well, worrying about Nikosi Perry. That's what I'm hearing, Dave. I'm just telling you. He's not sleeping well at all.
The turnover machine that Nikosi Perry was last year, maybe Todd Grantham's not sleeping well because he's dreaming of all those fumbles and interceptions and stuff that defense will be getting. So we'll see. But no, I actually like the Dan Enos hire, that offensive coordinator there from Miami. I like what I saw from him at times at Arkansas. There and what he was. I'm not going to give him a whole lot of credit for what was done in Alabama and Mike Loxley there. I think that was more him, more so than it was Enos there. But yeah, you know, I'm not hating on the hire as much as some people are. I think it was a good hire for Miami, a good hire for Manny Diaz to get an experienced offensive coordinator there. So I think it's a good hire, not a great hire, and he'll kind of have to prove more with this Miami offense to make it a great hire.
Tell everybody about Gators Breakdown.
You can get Gators Breakdown at news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown. Latest episode there we posted. Looking at areas for improvement from the Gators from last year, Bill. So, you know, taking a look at some early scoring. They got to get some points on the board in the first quarter of games. And, you know, taking a look at the pass defense and rush defense and the losses where they really struggled at last year. So, podcasts can be found on all the platforms out there, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all that good stuff out there, and YouTube as well.
Way to go, Dave. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Bill.